Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
When you see something new come from this group, you sit up and take notice. And then when you hear about who produced it, and he's always been great, but I don't know, 2010, even post-cancer, Larry Goss seems to be here stronger than ever before with the work that he's doing these days. So you've got Larry Goss producing this brand new project from The Hoppers, and it's simply titled Something's Happening. I tell you what, when you listen to it, I think you'll agree something's happening, and it's certainly something good. The Hoppers, we have Dean and Connie with us, and Carly's in the studio as well, and we're glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Daniel. It's good to be here.
How many years has it been since you guys have put out your last project?
Well, the last big project, I'll put it that way. We've had a couple of interim projects that we spend a lot of time and effort into, but was 2006, I think The Ride was out with That's Him on there. I'm Just Waiting for My Ride. He erased it.
Which is a great project.
Great project.
Grace Will Always Be Greater Than
Grace.
Sin.
And I love that one. Yeah.
That's probably, I would say, besides Yahweh.
Right.
Yahweh's on that. And I would say Grace is probably the next big song from that,
that
recording.
And I don't want to be a prophet, but when I heard it, I said, that song's going to do well for them. And I think it really has a great message. I love it. Well, so this has been in the works for how many years, you'd say?
We started
together.
We started picking songs in around November of 2008.
Yeah.
Tracks were done February of 2009. Group vocals were done March 2009. Mm-hmm. Solo vocals didn't start till the fall of 2009 and finished by March of 2010 and was mixed in April of 2010.
Wow.
So
it's a lengthy process to put one of these together.
Well, you know, a lot of your secular artists will record, go back and re-listen, relive with it, and say, oh, no, I didn't like the way I did that. I think I can do that better. Or something like, and having your own studio helps with that.
Sure,
so you can just walk in when the voice is in good shape. You know, you sing four nights, you're up and you're tired, but you walk in and, hey, I'm feeling really good, Mike. Let's turn everything on and let's get what we can get.
Yeah, cool. Let's go through this song by song. And the very first one, and I opened it, and I said, that's got to be Nancy Harmon. And then when I see, I'm reminded about the publishing company, Lefevre Sing, and then Larry Goss is on here, I'm thinking, okay, everything's making sense now. So did he pick this song, or was it a kind of a general consensus across the board?
Actually, we picked the song.
Did you really?
But he did not object at all.
Oh, I bet not.
I mean, he loved it. Yeah. And he said, you know, this is going to be a good one. And it is going to be a good one. Yeah.
Right.
It is.
What's the date on this? Because I...
Which song?
Victory Shall Be Mine.
The Rex Neeland Singers recorded that when Janet was there in the late 70s, maybe 1980. But the song was written, I think, in about 75, 78. Mm-hmm. The year. I don't remember exactly there, but I know that's about the time that they recorded it.
Let's go down this road for a second then. So this is a song that the Neelands did. And you guys, obviously a mixed group, family group, do you find it easier when you bring back these songs that have previously been recorded, that it's easier to bring back a song that was originally a mixed group song versus a quartet song? Or have you had fun taking quartet numbers and putting them into a mixed group kind of feel?
I believe that the mixed group thing, because of Kim's ability to sing those parts, actually the first person I ever heard do it was Janet Paschal, and that's the one that I actually remember, and it was the Lefevres back then. And so I always loved the song, and I have this slogan or this thought that if a song is good 50 years ago, it's still good today.
Oh, yeah.
And... And we had talked about this song and just decided to do it. But there is a significant thing about if a mixed group has done it. If they do have, like, maybe the two lady vocals in there and the ladies that are singing the parts. Sometimes if you just have, like, the one person who's doing, like, an alto part, it doesn't go quite as well. But this went really good, I thought.
I'd like to add to that. When you're picking songs, you always need a good group of fast tunes.
Sure,
and there are not many really good fast tunes being written that has the cover the overview like this has, or like a Yes I Am or something to that effect. And so when you can't find a good new fast song, there are plenty of older fast songs to do, like Stepping on the Clouds that that they had formerly recorded, the Lefevers, and even the Inspirations had done that song. And so we brought that one back too. But that's another part that really plays a significant part of that process of finding the right song, right fast song.
Well, and all you got to say is Nancy Harmon, and I think you're going to determine there's a certain sound that comes with Nancy.
There's a battle we're engaged in. There's a goal line we must cross. There's a weight that must be lifted. There's a trophy to be won.
Something's happening right here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. We're around the table with Dean, Connie, and Carly of the Hoppers, and our conversation picks up right here. Oh, how amazing is Amazing Grace. What's the history on this song? Because I have a feeling that this is a new take on an older song again?
No, this is a new song.
It's brand new.
And it's a fast song.
Yeah.
And
happy.
It's a very happy, it almost sounds, what would be the description of the music in this. Larry put the brass
on
it.
Big band. Has a big band.
Yeah, a big band almost. The music is is similar to what you might have heard on the merry-go-round years ago.
All right.
Well, but it's great.
I don't have said that.
I know. Well, Larry, forgive me, Larry. Right. But I'm talking about the way it flows, you know?
Sure, sure.
I mean, it's good, though. It's really good.
Shannon Childress, who was with our group for 12 years, who wrote Anchor to the Power of the Cross, many number one songs he and his family wrote that. And we've not recorded a good Childress Family song in a while, and they sent that along. And we just needed one of those just feel-good, happy songs that doesn't really kick it out the top end, and it's, you know, doesn't get over this way or that. It's just good and consistent all the way through, and it's happy.
God did not have to search the streets of Glory Land to see if he could find the sinless, spotless, perfect lamb. The sacrifice was seated at his right hand. His only son would wear the flesh of mortal man. Oh, how amazing is amazing grace. No other word explains why he would die in our place. Mercy's door was open, let's give heaven our praise. Oh, how amazing is amazing grace. Oh, how amazing is amazing grace. Jesus left the throne and bid heaven goodbye. The sins he paid for were not his, but yours and mine. 10,000 angels could have set him free, but he chose dying all alone on Calvary. Amazing is amazing grace. No other word explains why he would die in our place. Mercy's door was open, let's give heaven our praise. Oh, how amazing is amazing grace. Oh, how amazing is amazing grace. Loving the sinner, he died for our sin. All our transgressions were laid upon him. His door was open, let's give heaven our praise. Oh, how amazing is amazing grace. Oh, how amazing is amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, how amazing is amazing grace. Is grace. Amazing grace.
We're talking to the Hoppers, and they have this new project that's titled Something's Happening, and that's the title track, which is up next, a Kyla Rowland song, which is guaranteed to be a good one. What goes in? I like to, you know, ask maybe some of what the thought processes are when you're talking to artists about their new projects. And typically, you know, some of the standard, I think, fan questions are like, well, you know, how do you choose the songs? How do you choose who sings what songs? And then how do you choose which song you're going to make your title of the CD, you know, and sometimes they don't even have anything to do with the songs. But this one, definitely, track number 3 is the title track. What made that stand out to you guys?
Well, for me, obviously the message that takes you from the cradle to the grave, to the ascension.
Yeah.
And the song has been recorded before, a group that sang about 4 or 5 years ago. They're no longer singing now. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to do it at that particular time. But once the song had been recorded, we decided we would wait. And this came back up again at this juncture doing this particular recording. But it needed something a little extra. And so Mom and Larry got together, and they put these recitations in between the verses. Mm-hmm. So we don't actually get to the chorus till after all 3 verses are sung. The song's not that long. It sounds like it's really getting long. And then Larry puts the hallelujah at the end just tells you what the final
that's cool.
the final thing that happened, which was the ascension or the resurrection at that point. It's very powerful. And as far as the title goes, it's a great song, great title, but after 50, this will be 53 years for my dad singing gospel music, there's still a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
and out of Madison, North Carolina, with the Hoppers. It's not something that we're tapering off in any way.
Sure.
And so I think we just took advantage of the opportunity to tell the people that it's still happening.
Something's happening in Bethlehem. From a stable, a lovely light glows within.
Is that a baby crying? There's excitement in the wind.
Something's happening in Bethlehem.
He was born in Bethlehem. Shepherds declared that angels announced his birth. Now that caused a stir. When men came asking, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star and have come to worship him." Herod was filled with wrath. The babe is now a man, teaching a new doctrine with compassion and authority. The people are following him. The chief priests and elders are outraged. There's a mob outside of Pilate's hall today. Something's happening.
Something's happening in Pilate's hall. On the porch, Pilate pleads with an angry mob. In this man called Jesus, I can find no fault. Something's happening in Pilate's hall.
I watched as his beaten, disfigured body fell beneath the load of the cross. His mother ran to him. The soldiers pushed her away. I heard the hammer fall and I knew the nails had been driven and he was on the cross. The scoffers kept chanting. I heard him speak words of forgiveness. There was a darkness over the earth and a great earthquake. Then I heard him cry from the cross, "It is finished." We watched him die, but somewhere deep within my being, I know this is not over.
Something's happening at Joseph's grave, where Jesus of Nazareth has laid.
About that song, I hadn't listened to the tape. We worked on it, a year and a half?
right.
You don't hear the songs, and then Mike walks in the kitchen. His mom, here's a copy of the CD. Okay, all right. You know, And a lot of times when you record, you don't listen to your songs. You listen to someone else's. But I put on the tape, and I was working in the kitchen, and Victor Shelby Mine came on, and I thought, this is good. I like this. Mm. And then that happy song.
What's so amazing?
What's
so amazing?
Yeah, about Amazing Grace. I mean, I mean, that was good. So then this song started.
Yeah.
And before I knew it, I was just praising the Lord. And I thought back to what Vestal told me. She said, if your songs don't ever bless you, then you're not going to bless anybody else. Mm. And I thought, well, if people get blessed by this song the way I have, then God's going to use it. And then, because something's happening, and then the next song came on, and it was my granddaughter. So I just sat down on the floor and cried.
Give up at that point.
I gave up. I said, "What? How much can I take here?" And it was the, I mean, it's just, the song's great. Something's happening is good, and then this next song is super awesome.
Well, we may mention of Larry at the beginning. Larry Ross, I mean, for those in the industry, I think he's appreciated, but outside the industry, I think he's probably very underestimated, the power that he can bring to a recording, to the arranging, to really probably the whole process of putting a song
on
tape.
Let me tell you how Kim loved the song. We had listened to it, 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the song. We all liked it, but we didn't do it. So we took it back, and Larry, he really liked the song. He said, but it needs something.
Yeah.
And Larry Goss began to produce.
Yeah.
He said, this needs something, Connie. He says, you need to write something between the first verse and the second verse, taking it from the cradle to Pilate's Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, then between that one in the last verse, you need to write something going to the tomb and the resurrection, the cross and the resurrection. He said, you know, really, something is still happening. Something is happening in the hearts and lives of people today. And there's a line in there that says something will happen deep inside of you. And Larry felt that. And Larry really wanted, I love him because he looks for the heart in the artist, and then he looks for the message, and he sees the end from the beginning as to what he can get out of that song.
That's right.
To portray it to the people that are going to listen and how that they will get the most from it. And I appreciate that.
Well, the Hoppers, Something's Happening. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. This next song that's track number 4, Nobody's Too Bad or Too Good. Interesting title, and it's really, it comes down to a couple of things here. It's about a son and a daughter. The son of William Lee Golden of
the Oak Ridge Boys
mm-hmm. wrote it, right? Or the lyrics, at least. And then Kim and Dean's daughter takes the lead in this song. And, okay, so, and in fact, when I knew Carly was coming, I said, now, she can sing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was the point, Carly, when you realized or somebody noticed or it was appointed once that you were to sing?
That I was to sing. Well, I've always kind of thought of myself as I'm just the kid. You know, I'm going to leave the singing thing to my parents. I'm not going to be one of those that tries to live up to any kind of standard.
Yeah.
But honestly, Gordon Mote talked me into doing this song, and I still blame him.
Yeah.
But, by the end of it, I kind of got to throw my own little bit of a flair. I mean, not much by any means, but I got to do a few things with my voice on there that I didn't really know I could do.
That's
and
cool.
I was decently pleased with it, you know?
Cool. And so what is the, I think I can get the message, from the title, but I think it's one that probably the world is begging for because it seems like that the church has played games.
Yes.
And it sounds like this is one that kind of cuts through all the game playing and gets down to the real business of
what
Jesus came to resolve.
As a teenager who's been stuck, or not really stuck, but placed into a realm of something where you have to be one way or the other, and you're kind of stuck in that judgmental phase or what have you, it really does come down to whatever you believe is all that really matters. And so nobody is too bad or too good.
Have you found, have you been able to sing this much out in public yet?
No, we I'm a little scared to sing it in public. Yeah. You know, like I said, there's a couple things in there I didn't know I could do, and I'm not sure how well staging them is going to go. But we'll see, and we'll hope and pray, and we'll have everybody cross their fingers and knock on wood and stuff. But hopefully my debut of this will be in a couple weeks.
Hopefully so. Well, I'm anticipating some good stories and response from people coming up to you, because I think, you know, I think you hit a nerve when you talk about stuff like this that really is the central message of the gospel. We kind of forget the good part of the good news. So that's what I love about this music, and you guys as a group and your career have never shied away from it.
This is on a church sign that's just been erected. Visitors are welcome and members are expected. And that's a faithful saying, it's worth saying once more. God says attendance is a mighty good thing for all who will walk through the door. A soul-saving haven, a strong sanctuary. The church can't be defeated by any adversary. We're called to assemble, and that's what it's about. And God says nobody's too bad.
Church is built upon. It's the people, not the steeple or the building made of stone. It will last through the ages. The Bible leaves no doubt. God says nobody's too bad to come in. Nobody's too good to stay out.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with the Hoppers and their new project, Something's Happening. Around our table are Connie and Dean Hopper and Dean and Kim's daughter, Carly. Track 5 is I've Been to Heaven, and this is Larry Henson who wrote this. Where'd this song come from, and why'd you decide to record it?
I don't know if you've ever listened to the One More Hallelujah project, which was their last family album in 93. Yeah,
right.
Kim and I went on a trip to Florida about a year before she was born. And we had just gotten that CD, and we listened all the way down and all the way back. Loved every tune. Of course, we grew up with the Hensons, and we saw them in California when they were teenagers, and I was just a kid before they ever moved to Madisonville, Kentucky, and then to Nashville.
Right.
But unusual. Usually the songs are Kenny and Ronnie all the time, but Larry stepped out and put this together, and his brother Ronnie said, "Are you sure you wrote this song?" and I was so...
No, Ronnie said, "Why are you doing Larry's? Why don't you do mine?"
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Ronnie said.
What are you doing Larry's song for?
That's funny.
But always loved the song. And we talked about it last time, but never took it serious. And this we brought forward. And when we got ready to sing, every time we would rehearse, try to get the arrangement going, Kim or myself or mom, one of us would wind up in tears. It was just... It's moving,
right,
it has a little more of the country flair with the steel guitar in there, and but it has Larry put a nice bed of strings in there as well. But the message is pretty powerful. I've been to heaven, but I've never left the room. And if you know Christ, That's what everybody says, or can say.
Mary held the baby Jesus tightly in her hand. On the way to dedicate the child at God's command. Once inside the temple, as his eyes fell on the boy, Simeon began to weep and cry aloud with joy.
My eyes have seen salvation on his face. These hands have touched amazing grace. My ears have heard the voice of God's own choice. I smell the rose in bloom. I've been to heaven.
Often I recall the place I finally let God in. Kneeling in that little church, into my life he came. Since in his presence I was changed forever.
Something's Happening. It's a Spring Hill recording. It's available at thehoppers.com, and we're listening to tracks off this new project. Okay, when I saw the title, I have to admit, I immediately thought of her, and then I opened it up and looked in the liner notes, and yeah, she's the author. East of Jerusalem is the title, and Paula Stefanovich is the author. And I have to say, here she goes again, right? Now what are you going to give us new, Paula? But you cannot take for granted the importance of that part of the country. I know you guys have been there, and I've never been, but I understand once you go, you really can appreciate what the Holy Land is about and what happened there, and even its importance today, and how important it is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But this is East of Jerusalem, so what's the story in this song?
Well, my thoughts on this, and I don't mean to jump in front of Mom there, but... We debated on what we should call it. He will come, because the emphasis is all the way through the song. Is he will come.
Right, right.
You know, he's not going to leave us hanging. He's coming.
Yeah.
But where he'll set his foot down is just east of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where he'll return. So that's what she decided to name the song. And it's more of a big 6/8 feel of the rhythmic part of it.
Right.
But it's pretty powerful song, too. And I was kind of afraid because of, okay, the lady, she's written Jerusalem, and now we go to east of Jerusalem. Oh, what is she trying to do?
Next but, we'll be west of Jerusalem.
Yes, right. And that's where we're not going to be, okay? But after you hear the message in the song, you'll understand where she was coming from.
Right, right.
And she's a pretty deep thinker, this young lady is.
Yeah.
And that's something that people need to be reminded of every day, that he will come. He is coming, whether we're ready or not. He is coming.
The church is getting restless for Christ to return. We've all heard this promise. We've heard it for so long. But this coming King still sees there's a remnant that believes and is praying, come quickly, Lord, come.
Shout it from the
longing to see him high and lifted up as the world bows its knee. He will make his presence known as the King and King alone, robed in all his rightful power and majesty.
Shout it from the
Hoppers, and what a great song, East of Jerusalem, and this is all from the new project. It's called Something's Happening. And I have to say right here, something is happening. The Hoppers, what, 53 years?
This year.
And still a fan favorite, America's favorite family of gospel music. And then the Gaither organization gives you a best of project that soars to the top of the Billboard video charts in its first week. And I think that's remarkable, and shows that no matter if you were talking about Hopper Brothers and Connie days, or the Shoutin' Time, you know, heyday in the '90s when that took place, or even today with with the great stuff that you guys have been putting out. You guys are still right there doing good music, singing about relevant stuff we've talked about already thus far, and able to do an old classic all at the same time with that Hopper's touch. So I think it's just, I think it's great. So well, the best of the Hoppers, you want to talk about that for a second?
Well, as long as Mom's in the group, we can do that classic.
Class.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true, yeah.
'Cause she knows more of those older tunes. And, you know, you got those bouncing moving parts that very important that, you know, Mr. Gaither talks about all the time. You've got to be able to sing a convention song. It's got those moving parts on there.
Yeah,
hey, you know,
exactly.
I have one of those. Can I pull it out of this bag here and let you hand this right through the radio mic? And the songs are listed there on the back.
And these are highlights mainly from the Homecoming series, right?
There's 18 on there. I mean, he picked the pride of the litter, so to speak. With, of course, Jerusalem we shot in Israel. We did Stepping on the Clouds in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Kim went to South Africa with him. And then we did the stuff in Toronto. And, of course, the six encores of Shouting Time at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta with 40,000 people.
I will arise and call to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of Christ my Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 stars. It's shouting time in heaven. A sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No one in the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson glow. And now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My name is written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh, yes, it's shouting time. Oh, ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come back. Lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson glow. And now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My name is written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh yes, it's shouting time. Well, it's shouting time in heaven. A sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven. Salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson glow. And now I'm feeling fine. And I'm walking on the highway with my Lord. My name is written down in the courts above. It's shouting time in heaven. Oh yes, it's shouting time. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson glow. And
sat there and watched that while at the premiere just a couple of weeks ago, and about 125, 150 folks came in from local areas there and was a part of the audience.
Right.
And it was such amazing to me because, you know, my dad's a character anyway, and he's telling these stories, and Bill says, now tell us the one about this, but you can't leave here until you tell this story. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the people in the crowd, in the audience, were laughing at the video.
I'm
serious. Yeah. And it really gives a side of our family besides the music.
Sure.
The heart.
Yeah.
We're real people, and I'm going to say this with Mom sitting here. Bill called the next week after we'd done the B-roll footage. Nothing had been edited, just from the time us being there that day. And you know how Bill is. When you get up there at his place, he wants to show you everything.
Right.
You know, he took us into the Statler Brothers role of the new video that's coming out. But anyway, he called and he said, Dean, I think we got to capture a lot of heart on this thing. And he said, you know who we got the most heart from? And I'm thinking, well, he's going to say Connie. He's going to say, you know, somebody. Yeah, he said, we got it from your daddy.
Yeah.
He said, when your daddy looked over at your mama, and in his eyes, you can see his affection and love for her, for these. This will be their 50th anniversary this coming year.
Oh, wow.
Being married. And so, anyway, I was blessed and moved and very appreciative of that.
You know, before you even got to that part of what you just said, I was thinking, you know, I've seen Claude in many different lights. I've seen Claude as a North Carolina country guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can form a stereotype there.
You should see him right now. You got him right there.
Okay. Out in the pasture.
Exactly.
Exactly. I've seen him with the Bluetooth in his ear.
Oh, boy.
In his suit, you know, swinging a deal somewhere, being the businessman.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him as the MC of a concert, knowing exactly where to take, you know, from song to song or to segue. I've seen him tell the jokes that he's told 50 times and he still gets a kick out of
it. For 50 years.
Yeah, right, yeah.
He laughs at himself.
He laughs, you know, can't get through it. And then you think, okay, you got him figured. You know, you know who he is. But when you get to know Claude, you know there is a heart. He's got a heart that's bigger than gold, and it's a very charitable heart, very giving heart. And I've just been very impressed of getting to know Claude through the years, and so
thank you.
So you say the best of the Hoppers is going to show that. You'll see it in his eyes and love for his wife and his family, and it's very. And you know what? I cannot let this pass. And Connie will know what I'm talking about. And you guys can talk about this too. I mean, the home place. I mean, there's such rich history just with his family and being born, I guess, there on that property or nearby, and his love for the corn crib. He's got an old corn crib that's there. And,
yes.
And that is one thing I haven't figured out. But
about the corn crib.
About the corn crib, but there is a deep passion for the corn crib.
Well, the animals, just these animals that don't need to be there live under the corn crib when we're gone.
I bet so.
Yeah, that don't need to be there.
Right,
for sure.
Exactly.
There's a sound of hope that's ringing, bringing joy across the waves. Hearts that once were lost are singing, hallelujah, Jesus saves.
Take the news to all. This is Daniel Britton Friends.
The hope that is within us, erupting from the sand, is clear and pure refreshment in dry and barren land. No scorching circumstances can stop that eager flow of hope that springs eternal. This joy that floods my soul. Oh, Jesus, blessed Jesus, my wellspring in the sand. Oh, Jesus, blessed Jesus, my strong and saving. Sometimes whispers, a hope that sometimes shouts. Sometimes hope's mighty gale will part the sea of doubt. Hope calms the raging fevers, commands the storm to pain. Hope turns life's threatening
best of the Hoppers, also available at thehoppers.com.
Yes.
And the new project is Something's Happening. And let's talk about Could It Be I'm Dreaming.
Kim picked this song out.
Yeah, it's a great message. Gerald actually sent it to us at Larry's house while we were picking songs.
Yeah, Gerald Crabb and Gina Vera.
Gina Vera.
Actually, backing up a little bit, Kim had heard this earlier. I don't know if it was before this project or what, but she... Yeah, but she liked the song. And
okay, he resent it to us while we were at Larry's
house. He wrote a last verse and sent it to us. Okay, you know, that happened with That's Him.
So we're talking a long time ago getting this project prepared. So.
Wow.
And it's very simple, but it has a great message. I started traveling years ago. I chose to take the narrow road, and then it goes on. And I mean, it's one of those songs where Dean said, if you want the older style, then call mama up. So there you go. Yeah. That's what we got there. But there's a lot of folks in the audience that still ask for, like the song we did, I've Come Too Far. You know, they feel in a song. Sure. Yeah.
They sort of, every time the music kicks off, it's like, the hand claps go. People relate. Even the young people relate. Yeah. The young folks, you know, that they may have troubles at home with family, with parents, and they're not gelling too well, they get the message in that song. So, and I think they'll get this one too.
I
started traveling so long ago. I chose to take the narrow road to reach that land where no one dies, no hearts are broken, no. Stained with tears, so long and winding through the years. Now as I step on streets of gold, could it be I'm dreaming? Could it be I'm home?
Could it be I'm I've been waiting for so long. If this isn't heaven, let me sleep on. Could it be I'm dreaming? Could it be I'm home?
I felt God gently touch my face. He wiped my final tear away. Then I heard him say, well done, no longer dreaming, I've made it home.
No longer
here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Placing a bookmark here, we'll come back next week to wrap it up with more best of highlights from the best of the Hoppers and more new sounds from Something's Happening. See you back here next week.
You've been listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel, Britt, and Friends.